The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Supreme Court lifted California's restrictions on religious gatherings in private homes, saying that they could not be enforced to bar private prayer meetings, Bible study classes, and the like. The court's brief, unsigned order followed earlier ones striking down limits on attendance at houses of worship meant to combat the coronavirus. Joining us right now is Ryan Tucker. Ryan Tucker is senior counsel, director of the Center for Christian Ministries at Alliance Defending Freedom, to talk about this case. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure, Ryan. Now, you know, there's been a give and take. There's been a, it's kind of like a, people standing on both sides and saying, oh no, my First Amendment rights are more important. And then people standing on the other side saying, look, public health is most important. And of course, those two things need to be balanced. But this was an important ruling on Friday. So talk about what it means for us.
Well, you're right. I mean, the government certainly has every right to protect the health and safety of its citizenry, but we can't do so at the cost of our fundamental freedoms, our First Amendment protections. And so the last year has been a definite struggle for many, and certainly those within the church have been struggling mightily, and in particular those in California. This case is very significant because, well, first off, this is the fifth case to get to the U.S. Supreme Court on an emergency motion basis, an emergency request.
Really?
And hopefully it's the last. But important for your listeners to know is that the governor just recently, in fact, I don't know how much this is being reported, has decided to lift those restrictions entirely across the state and make those permissive as opposed to mandatory restrictions.
Okay.
So it's a real blessing for the church in California.
Great.
So the fifth time that cases like this have come forward, as I'm reading, the decision, Ryan, it feels as though the court, even though it was an unsigned majority vote, kind of like kicked it back and said, okay, enough of this, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you read the decision, the short decision, it's very clear that the court is frustrated by these repeated requests, in particular coming from out of the state of California and then also from the Ninth Circuit. The court, it hasn't been, I would say, crystal clear in a lot of these cases, but this one has been the most clear example of it, and I think provides great guidance for, any government officials out there that are contemplating keeping COVID restrictions in place.
Okay, so let's talk about that clarity. What did they make patently obvious in reading the opinion?
Well, for one, you can't, single out churches for this unfair, unjust treatment. So in this instance, you had restrictions that did not allow Bible studies of six people or more really to take place. You have, in some settings, groups of people like in a nail salon, a movie theater, in other locations. That was okay in the secular context, but the moment you got together to talk about God in, say, a local home, all of a sudden that became a problem. And so the court made very clear that the state, the government, can't pick winners and losers in the space and say, well, we're going to assume what you're doing is wrong there, but not when you're in the secular space.
Interesting. Okay, so then the First Amendment, so this is part of the ruling, quote, the First Amendment requires that a state treat religious conduct as well as the state treats comparable secular conduct. Sometimes finding the right secular analogy may raise hard questions, but not today.
That's right. But even beyond that, one of the questions was, does it have to treat, religion better? And it really, it's a question that was sort of sitting out there. At ADF, we had a case last year, you may recall, how casinos were open in the state of Nevada, but most of the church doors were closed. We took that case to the U.S. Supreme Court. The court, of course, was made up very differently back then, and we lost that challenge 5-4. Well, now we have a reversal here from the court, a 5-4 ruling now that says, look, the church is really on a pedestal. It is a it is more favored, and it's in its rightful spot because the free exercise clause of the First Amendment says that. And before, it just really wasn't that blatantly clear. And this decision, as short as it is, really made that point very obvious.
Let's see.
Ryan Tucker's with us, Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Christian Ministries at Alliance Defending Freedom.
So, Ryan, as you said, a number of these emergency rulings have taken place. Now, hopefully, of course, we're all pinning our hopes that the coronavirus pandemic is winding down. But this still, this ruling does have staying power for future cases and for First Amendment's rights. And, of course, for people gathering for religious services, does it not?
It does. It absolutely does. There was a decision a few months ago, right after Thanksgiving. It was called the Diocese of Brooklyn decision out of New York. Governor Cuomo had instituted some restrictions there. That case made its way up on an emergency basis. And right after that, it was right around Thanksgiving, the court issued, I'd say, its first decision in favor of the church, of churches. And right after that, there were several governors that really got the memo. They came to the understanding that, wait a second, you know, we are singling out the church. We are treating the church in an unconstitutional manner. And a lot of states opened up at that point. But there were a handful of states, and still, even today, a small minority that are still doing that. California certainly was one of them. Now, there were certainly areas within California where local officials were not even attempting to enforce certain restrictions. But in Santa Clara County, which is where this case came out of, Northern California, the church was still being treated very harshly. And that's how this case originated. It went up on a very, very short time frame. In fact, the briefing at the U.S. Supreme Court lasted all of a week. And so it's very clear that the court had been writing this decision well before its release. And as you guys mentioned, you know, moments before, I think the court's kind of sick of hearing about these cases. And so it made its decision, albeit one not signed by any particular judge. I think it's made it very clear.
So that's so maybe perhaps that'll end the emergency requests in this vein.
One would hope. I mean, there's always exceptions. There's always, local, even state governments that I think, maybe go the extra step. And I know in many instances, I think some of them are well-intended, and some we've seen a true targeting of the church. You know, when this first began over a year ago, I was shocked by one of the first calls I got, which was a case out of Mississippi where there was an actual law that was called the church drive-in ban. I mean, it actually named the church in the title of the ordinance that was being passed. And so to see the church being, say, targeted, even in the Bible Belt, was quite shocking to me. That was a case where there were about 20 church members that pulled up in a parking lot, never got out of their cars. They listened to their pastor on an FM transmitter inside the church, and there was no contact between people. The only contact was when the police officers came, knocked on the doors of these vehicles, and proceeded to hand out criminal citations of $500 to these mostly some elderly, some of all ages folks, 20 of them in all. And we immediately filed a lawsuit there. The Attorney General of the United States actually issued some comments on that, saying what we sort of led with, and that is your First Amendment rights are never suspended, even in times of crisis.
Fabulous. Yeah. We are talking with Ryan Tucker, who is Senior Counsel, Director of the Center for Christian Ministries at Alliance Defending Freedom. Ryan, of course, we're living in deeply contentious times, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that, as you see these cases, the Christians have been targeted. So we are really grateful for the work that Alliance Defending Freedom is doing at the highest court and, of course, in other courts across the United States. Can you take a moment and talk to us about Alliance Defending Freedom and the work that's being done and how our audience can partner with you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, our mission really is to keep the doors open for the spread of the gospel. And that may sound odd, you know, particularly for a Christian law firm, but that's really our mission. And if you go to adflegal.org, you can find out more about our organization. We are the largest Christian legal firm in the nation, and we often will litigate all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. In fact, there's an argument coming up here in a couple weeks involving a very important issue of on donor privacy out of, again, the state of California. The state of California keeps me a little busy, but we do a number of different things in a number of different spaces. We help the church. We help religious schools. We're an advocate for free speech. And we, you know, do what we can and lean on God to walk us through it.
Fabulous. Ryan, we're grateful to have you on the show. Hopefully we won't need you to show up here in Pennsylvania. But if we do, we're happy to know that you're there.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Alliance Defending Freedom. They really are one of the major forces for Christians in the world, here in the United States, especially for freedom of gathering, freedom of speech. Alliance Defending Freedom.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.